Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this evening is from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. As we say goodbye to 2007 and as we welcome in 2008, we realize that this is not just a calendar year that is going to change, but every new year brings with it the hope that we will change. And there are things about all of us that we wish were different and would change. Some of them are trivial. Some of them are things like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to join a health club this year, or I'm going to try some new recipes or do some more entertaining, or I'm going to travel more this year. But others are very crucial to our Christian faith, like I'm going to stop holding grudges, or I'm going to avoid coveting what others have, or I'm not going to gossip, or I'm going to study my Bible more. Every one of us, I think, would like to imagine that we can improve our lives in the new year. And many of us determine that we can simply do this by our own willpower. We'll study harder. We'll keep the house cleaner. We'll pay down some of our debt. We'll do more volunteer work out in the community, or we'll be more regular in our church attendance. I guess it's kind of become fashionable and a custom that people make such resolutions. At this time of year, we make a determined effort to give up on old habits and to spend our lives in more constructive ways. There's too many to name, but some people at this time of the year say, you know, I'm going to stop smoking. Or I'm going to read more this year. Or I'm going to try to clean up my language, especially around my children. Or I'm going to quit eating out so much at a fast food restaurant. Or spend more time with the family. Or witness more about Jesus Christ in my life. But you know, and I know, that it doesn't take long, and we quickly lose sight of those resolutions that we make. We soon trade in all of those goals that we had for the new year for things that bring us more instant gratification. So that eating that second or third helping of dessert becomes more significant in the moment than stepping on the scale and finding out we've lost 1 or 2 pounds next week. Or going out every night and partying while we're in college seems to have more immediate rewards than staying home and studying and maintaining a high GPA. As people, we find it very difficult to change. In fact, it's a daily and constant effort for us to replace old habits with new ones. But for the Christian, it's more than just a struggle to find deep down within us a little bit more self-discipline. Change is really a great spiritual battle within the Christian. It's a battle for supremacy or control within us as the, what I'll call the old you, wars against the new you in Christ. You see, as Christians, we have these two competing interests, and they work at odds against each other at all times. That there is that old, sinful, residual side of us that we inherited from Adam, and it wars against God and is always working against God. And then there is the new man, the new nature, that's directed by Christ's Spirit. And that nature actually wants what God wants. And the Bible talks about this at length, about how these two things are always opposing each other. It usually calls them flesh versus spirit, or old man versus new man. But it's like there was this civil war taking place inside of you. Only the war isn't against Union troops and Confederate troops, but the battle is against or between the old you and the new you. Now, in theology, I have to admit, especially we Lutherans, we spend a lot of time talking about the old you. We talk about how it often limits our spiritual progress towards leading godly lives. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that the old you is there. It explains a lot. For instance, it explains why you as Christians don't attain to a level of spiritual perfection. It also explains why as Christians sin remains in us after baptism, and we can do some awful unchristian things at times. And it also explains in our own Christian experience why there is often this intense conflict inside of us. It's true, the old you often wins as we experience various temptations and sins. But not always, and tonight I want to talk about the not always. We must never forget that sometimes the new you wins in the Christian life. Paul once said, I can do all things through Christ because he gives me that strength. That I can do all things in Christ is the new you, speaking bravely, speaking boldly about what God can accomplish in our life when his Son Christ provides us with that strength. And so tonight we're not going to focus on the old you of 2007, but we are going to focus on the new you as we begin year 2008 in the year of our Lord. For Scripture says this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old's gone. The new has come. You know, God refers to you as the new you in two different ways. First, it is new because of the new way that God chooses to look at you. He chooses to look at you through the eyes of Christ. He chooses to look at you as free and forgiven people. He chooses to look at you not as your sins deserve, but as his mercy desires for you. And then second, he looks at us in a new way because we are, those of us who belong to Christ, begin to act and do new things. First, I'd like to consider for a moment the way God looks at us as a new you. Right after this text, it says, God reconciled all things through Christ, the world and you. And so God has essentially changed our status. He no longer sees us as the sinners that we know and feel in our heart. But he has elevated us to the status of saint because of Jesus. God does not see us in the old way as the law would look at us, but he sees us through new eyes, through loving and forgiving eyes. After we receive absolution, as we did tonight, we are no longer the people that others may see. Because we are, by God's mercy, what God declares us to be. We are precious to God. We are holy, for we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Each time we sin, and as often as we sin, you are free to begin again in the newness of life that Christ provides. Now, our plans to change often fail. I know I've made, over the years, dozens and hundreds of resolutions, and most of them have come to naught. And very few of us will pull off following through with plans of self-improvement in the new year. But we want to focus on God's plans, because God's plans for you have succeeded. Because of Jesus, in this coming year, even when you stumble and fall, God will pick you up and he will dust you off, and in the blood of Christ, you will be brand new again and free to begin again. And the great thing is, you don't have to wait. If you screw up in 2008, you don't have to wait to 2009 to begin again. But the very instant that you rely on Jesus as your Savior, as often as that might happen in this coming year, you will become a new you. You will be forgiven. You will be free. You will be everything that God intended you to be in baptism. And by the way, from moment to moment to moment, God is always upgrading your forgiven status. And he does that without any gaps. But we also become better people, holier people, after we belong to Christ. And so now we're going to take up that idea. What does the new you look like? How does it live? What does it do? Well, the new you is actually Christ's Spirit living in you. And so, because God is behind your efforts, you're going to be able to do some pretty amazing things, things that you thought you could not do. The new you, for instance, wants to submit to God. It wants to please God. You will find yourself actually wanting to do God's will. Here are a few things that the new you in Christ can accomplish. You can actually, as that new you in Christ, love your neighbor. You can choose right over wrong. You can desire to hear and study God's word. You can have the desire to pray. The new you prompts you to be merciful and kind. The new you prompts you to forgive others who have wronged you. The new you fills you with humility and with generosity. I don't know how it is, but New Year's has come to symbolize change. And some change is kind of selfish. We just kind of get tired of the old and we want the novelty of change. And that's why we do things like go out and purchase new toys and new clothes and new cars. But you see, as sinners, we desperately need change. We need to repent for the sins that have held us in bondage in the previous year. We need to find that forgiveness in Christ by hearing his word and sacrament. And then we need to know that, yes, we can be new again in Christ. In a former congregation, I catechized a young man who had been pretty rowdy and done a lot of sinful things in his college years in this small community. But he was thoroughly converted, and a few years later, he had progressed so much in his faith that I asked the elders if he could be considered to be an elder. And because all they could do is remember his past sins, they ruled that he would be ineligible. But see, what they didn't understand was that was not the same person they remembered. Christ had changed his life dramatically. He was a new creation in Christ. The trouble was, they weren't looking at him through eyes of Christ. They were looking at him from a worldly point of view. They were not taking into account that God can make us a new creation, a new you. You know, none of us likes to be stereotyped by the sins and the words and the behaviors that we have done in the past. No one that I know of likes it when a parent brings up past sins or a spouse throws past sins in our face. But you see, God doesn't do that. God completely puts our sins behind him. And he provides us with a fresh start. And we will need that fresh start if we are going to go boldly into this new year. May you find that new you in the forgiving eyes of the Lord. And may you live as that new you through the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.